Hey guys, this is Mohit here. Welcome to a lovely episode, a new episode of Flash E-commerce Academy, where we try to invite all the e-commerce experts, right, to have a curated discussion, right, for the learning from their experience. So today we have a esteemed guest, Mike from San Francisco. Mike is a veteran in the e-commerce domain, right, and has been doing various sort of e-commerce businesses. We're happy to welcome Mike. Thank you for taking some time out today. Right.
No, thanks for having me as a guest.
Yeah. Lovely. 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 Right. So, Mike, as I mentioned that, this is Mohit here. I'm the founder at Flash.io, and we help e-commerce in enabling e-commerce into converting better by various video commerce related solution. Right. So happy to chat about your Mike. To begin with, very curious to know a little bit about your background. How did it all started? A brief, about your story, Mike.
My career basically started in college. I was a concert promoter. It was pretty early on. 1995 is when I first starting to generate a little bit of interest in designing websites. I read Laura Lomé's book, How to, Teach Yourself HTML in 6 Weeks. I did that. I took an intro to graphic design class at the Art Center in Pasadena, California, which is one of the most prestigious schools with regards to, design, architecture, and then also vehicle design. And yeah, my it was a night class. My professor was Warren Wilson. I actually got an A. That kind of encouraged me. I then took a intro to Photoshop class. So I called my company Gig with just because when you work like shows, it's called you're working a gig. Well, now people know them as gig workers, and then with was WIDTH, kind of representing bandwidth. So just a merger of kind of like music plus the internet. So I had some pretty cool clients. I had Epitaph through the Vans Warped Tour, Jeffrey Bishop. He helped book me Green Day. So I designed their website when they did the Warning album, and I met the band when they were recording Warning. Before that, I actually worked for a company called CyberGate, CyberGate, in Claremont as customer support, but I also did the websites for Doctor Strange Records, which has artists like Voodoo Glowskulls. So I was pretty much one of the early people designing websites back in the day. So I attended the Academy of Art University, majoring in advertising. I took a figure drawing class, which I almost failed, and I took a color theory class that I actually did pretty decently at. And then I met a guy through the internet by the name of Dan McDavis, and so I moved in with him for a month in Daly City, which is kind of foggy, and then we moved to Pinole for about 6 months. So Dantley has had a pretty amazing career and very, very incredibly influential. And his social media handle is just at Dantley, since he's been, so early with everything. So after a semester at the Academy of Art, I decided that, you know what, it cost me money. Why don't I just see if I can actually get a job? So I got job offers from a company called Circumstance, and I got a job offer also at a company called Adjacency that came out of Madison, Wisconsin. They had some pretty incredible clients. And we actually had this young intern from Stanford who actually has a pretty good design sensibility, and his name is Gary Tan. Are you familiar with who Gary Tan is?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Okay. Have you heard of Y Combinator?
Yes, I know.
Okay. So for the listeners that don't know, Y Combinator is probably one of the most well-respected and most famous
Absolutely.
tech startup accelerators in the world.
Absolutely.
They've funded companies like Airbnb, Dropbox, DoorDash, Instacart, Coinbase. They're insanely famous. Gary Tan, he was an intern and attending Stanford at the time. Well, he's now president and CEO of Y Combinator.
Amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
How this e-commerce thing started, Mike, with you? Like, with the diverse set of stuff, how did you landed into an e-commerce vertical?
So that's an interesting story. So I got laid off from Zynga. I worked at Zynga after LinkedIn, And I couldn't find a job because I didn't have a degree. So I got severely depressed over the course of 2 years. I ended up in mental health facilities against my will 3 times, and then eventually ended up in Taipei, Taiwan with my parents. I had suicidal ideations, tried to hang myself a couple times. So it was during that time where I discovered a newsletter called The Hustle. They had an article about how someone had made 6 figures using Teespring, which is now Spring, which is print on demand. I've always been a big fan of t-shirts. So that's when I made the decision to create a company. And the name of the company, T-Shirts Matter, is based off a blog post by Adam Nash, my former coworker at LinkedIn, called Why T-Shirts Matter. So as during the summer 2016 or 2015, I actually got diagnosed with bipolar 1 disorder. And one of the things that happens is you have manic episodes. And when you're manic, one of the things that happens is you have a propensity to spend a lot of money. I spent $765,000 while manic, $447,500 in angel investments. And I was born in 1972. So I initially filed trademark for 72 trademarks, later did 2 on my own. So 74 trademarks in total. I spent well north of $30,000 on those, and now 19 are registered. So that's kind of the story of how I started getting into e-commerce.
Awesome, awesome. Very impressive, you know, very, I think I would say, motivated journey of your Mike, you know, down from, you know, from being suicidal and then, you know, coming up with this, all these battling against all the odds. Interestingly, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you would wanted to talk about trademark and licensing, a very, very less commonly discussed topic when it comes to, you know, running an e-commerce business. Though I understand that, you know, it is of a very, very pivotal importance, right? I just wanted to hear about your thoughts that, you know, about why do you think, you know, trademark and licensing is important for someone running an e-commerce brand, and how it can be helpful.
I think it's very important that any business owner actually goes in and actually makes sure that they get their company, their brand trademark. The way a trademark works is you actually have to say what class you want to get your trademark in. The majority of mine, actually basically 100% are actually in class 35, which is online retail. You know, that's print on demand product. So you just have to show that you have a store. You have to actually submit a specimen to the examiner at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. So with my submissions on behalf of, at the time it was legally.co, Luke Breen, it's now Marcavo. The process of getting a trademark filed is you file it, you wait about 30 days, the examiner will then take a look at it. And then, well, actually it's not 30 days. So you file it, eventually an examiner will take a look at it and they'll do the research. Has anybody else done something? Is it available? If so, they will then file it for opposition. Well, people then have 30 days to file a protest for your trademark. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office actually currently, to file a protest letter is $50. And I think they actually are going to be raising that to $200, which actually benefits me because you have a lot of people that just say, oh, it's $50, I'll just oppose it. I've gotten a lot of oppositions with trademarks filed. And I've actually had to represent pro se, which means I'm serving as my own attorney. I've gotten oppositions from the likes of Beyonce, Disney. Disney actually opposed 7 of my filed trademarks, and Kobe Bryant.
Okay, okay. So, you know, for example, just for the viewers to understand these things, right? So, for example, if I'm running a t-shirt brand where the print on my t-shirt is actually defines the identity of my brand. Right.
Yeah.
Do you still think that, you know, those things can be protected?
Okay, so what I recommend that people do is type in this URL, test2.uspto.gov. That's TESS number 2.uspto.gov, and do a word search for your brand or whatever you're trying to file trademark for. You will then see a list of different trademarks that have been filed. You can see if they're live or if they're dead. You can then click on the link, especially if they're live, to see the history and the communication between the US trademark, US patent and trademark attorney and your correspondence with them. It's actually very interesting to go in and look at the correspondence with other brands.
Okay. Nice. Nice. That's a good, I think, a good starting point for someone to, you know, probably to find out, right? So just moving forward, right? If I had to, you know, put it into, you know, some, say, top five things, what brands have to keep in mind when they're fighting for this trademark, you know, to protect their identity, what would be those, Mike?
I would just first go to the website that I mentioned, test2.uspto.gov. See whether or not it's been trademarked and see what class it's in.
Okay.
Class 25 is physical goods. For example, with your specimen for a t-shirt, it needs to include a hang tag. And especially with today's day and age with Web 3.0, the metaverse and NFTs, class 9 is actually digital goods.
Mm-hmm.
Nike has actually fought quite a few trademarks in class 9 digital goods for NFTs.
Okay. So
yeah, I don't know if that's five, but you know, you want to make sure that your brand, that no one else is operating in the class. If you are, it's probably time to rebrand.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, at least in India, whenever we speak to some of the business, this whole protecting the IP in the e-commerce sector, at least, you know, it's not very well, you know, probably conveyed. And not many brands actually think that, you know, it is very important, right? So if I come to you and, you know, say that, hey, Mike, you know, do you think I need to file a trademark to protect an idea? How would I know as a brand owner that, you know, do I need to do this step or not? Because, of course, one is, there is a cost involved, you know, to probably acquire a trademark, and there is an effort involved, right?
So it's not that expensive. If you file a trademark, at least when I did with Legally.co with Luke Breen, it cost $175 for their legal fees. They do it in quantity, so they're priced way much lower. I actually got a quote from my attorney, and he said $1,500. And I was like, well, I can do it for $175. He's like, well, do that with them. And then it's just going to cost you whatever the cost is for the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and so that's about $325. So all in, it's going to cost you about $500. What's kind of fun though is once you actually have a registered trademark, is you can actually do takedowns. For example, one of my registered trademarks is Swipe or No Swiping. I just looked at Amazon and saw a lot of illegal products that say Swipe or No Swiping. I can then go in and report them to Amazon as the rightful owner of that trademark and take down every single product that exists on that platform. Everything from Redbubble and any other Etsy, you can report as the rightful owner of that trademark that people are using your trademark and you want that product to be taken down from the website. So it's a very insanely powerful tool to have.
Absolutely. I think it becomes very, very key lesson, right? Like, you know, if I have to build a sustainable business for the long term, I think it's very important to, you know, protect it early in the cycle so that, as you rightly mentioned, that, you know, Amazon, we do keep seeing that, you know, the counterfeit products are in increase, right? So this is one of the way to protect it, right?
Yeah.
So, like, suppose I have taken the, you know, many people have applied and they have got the trademark, right? But somehow they fail to utilize the power of this, right? Like, you know, what so any insights here, Mike? How can they leverage, you know, now you have protected it? Like, how do I leverage the power behind this?
So I guess depending on how big your business is, like, you can, you know, hire a licensing agent and they will then use software to track your trademark across the world. And if there are people that are filing trademarks similar to you, you'll be alerted. You can file oppositions. And I'm not currently working with a licensing agent, but I just had a article written in the World Trademark Review that during the Licensing Expo 2023 in Las Vegas said, I'm looking to find a good licensing agent. So a licensing agent will help you to protect your intellectual property with your trademark.
Lovely. And, you know, just to, you know, probably conclude this thing right now, what sort of mistakes, you know, you have seen, you know, when people actually file this thing, or, you know, they don't file in the beginning career of, you know, these, you know, e-commerce business owners, right? Like, what are the common mistakes people do, right? You know, in this whole journey of filing or not filing, right? What you have observed?
I would say when you file that trademark, Spend the money, you know, go to Markavo, MARKAVO.com. Work with an attorney. They're going to help you to look and see what's been registered. They'll let you know whether or not they, you know, think it can actually get registered. There are things that you can't register, like something that's kind of like, you know, in the public domain, like a popular phrase. You can't trademark things like Black Lives Matter, you know, so, you know, pay the money, you know, to make sure that you're working with someone that's an expert to let you know ahead of time whether or not it's even possible to get the thing registered.
Got it. I think these points will be, you know, very, very insightful for so the e-commerce business is on the rise, Mike, and you know, I think very, very valuable inputs from your end definitely help the viewers, you know, understand and, you know, leverage the power of trademark, which I would also think that's important, right? I think
And the other thing too is once you determine which class you're going to be in, part of the process is for me with class 35, you have to list what products you're going to be producing so you can then get protected in the specific categories. I'm using Gelato, which is GELATO.com integrated into Shopify. They, with their print on demand, is everything from t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, tote bags, posters, phone cases, stationery, calendars, and even wallpaper.
Lovely, lovely. I think I now understand, you know, the importance and the power behind this. But it will, you know, thank you, Mike. You know, truly very, very, you know, insightful information, right? You know, thank you for taking some time out today, sharing your past experience with the viewers. I'm definitely, and I'm very sure that, you know, it will help the community here, right?
Yeah, I'm more than happy, you know, if you just find me on LinkedIn. You can just type in linkedin.com/in/MIKELIN, Mike Lin, and you know, with your invitation to connect, personalize it. If you don't personalize it, I'm probably just gonna ignore it. I'm ignore you and just cancel it out. You know, take the time, send a personal message. Before you do that, take a look at my profile, see if there's any type of like, you know, way that we can work together, connect with me. I'll probably most likely, you know, look at your profile, see if it's relevant, connect back, start a conversation, and I'm more than happy to mentor people around the process of how to get their trademark filed. I've done two on my own because they're too controversial that my trademark attorney didn't want to deal with. They didn't want to have to deal with the ensuing PR.
Lovely. I'm pretty sure, you know, many people would be listening to this and it will be helpful. Anyways, we'll be sharing your, you know, profile handle also, you know, along with the video. So definitely will be helpful, Mike. Thank you once again, Mike. Right, lovely talking to you.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone who's listening.